right. Thank you, Sister Martin. My. He's my Lord, too. How about you? What we need in this country is a lot of folks that know him as Savior to unashamedly confess him openly as Lord every chance they get. Amen. I want you to open your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we're going to go to chapter 3, 1 Peter. Used to be a preacher would stand up and he'd say, all right, put away your pens, put away your notes. Now we say, put away your electronic gadgets. God have mercy on you. I hope he breaks every one of them if you're using them during church. I hope your batteries explode. Anything else I can think of, and if I can find a way to put a curse on them, I will. Just a bunch of junk when you can't give God an hour of your time and come to the house of God and fool with that stuff. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, no cell phones. What version you reading? 1 Peter chapter 3, pick it up in verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him put away his cell phone. No, that's not what it says. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Maybe there is a cell phone in there. And his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, I want to speak to you a little bit on the subject this morning, taken right out of the verses. All of it will come right out of the verses here. I look in verse 10, and it says, for he that will love life and see good days. How many of you rather see good days? The days hadn't been so good here in the last week or two. And in fact, I got sick and had to stay home. And while I was home, the whole world fell apart. Y'all better keep me healthy. You know that? I mean, look what happened. We had all the awful stuff of murder and shooting. And even the stock market backed up. And even evangelist Billy Graham died. And I said, I better come on back. Things was happening. Whatever I'd let go of, whatever rope I had dropped, everything was falling to pieces. So you may not have seen it that way, but I kind of thought about it that way. But the text here speaks of life, and it's not talking about just eternal life. It's talking about good days here. And it asks the question out here, for he that will love life and see good days. I prefer that over bad days, don't you? I believe that I probably, as much as most anybody, I enjoy life in the way I believe God intended for me to enjoy it. In fact, if it was up to me to enjoy some of the things the world enjoys, there's a whole lot of places that close down that would break some of your hearts. But the truth of the matter is, I prefer good days over bad days. And I think about that. Have you ever... We should all do it. Sometime take an inventory on our life. Evaluate a little bit. I used to have a buddy. He's been in heaven a long time now, but he and I drove around in old cars in this town, and we were bored. There was not much to do. And ladies, but there was not very many pretty girls in town. Just us couple of handsome boys and no girls in town. So it was a bad time. But we'd often talk about life. What are we going to do with our life? And we were dumb enough not to have any good ideas. I'll tell you that. We didn't have enough information to measure things by. But I remember us having those kind of serious thoughts about where are we going to be? Well, I thought I was going to travel the world, and he thought he was going to stay home. Turned out just opposite. He joined the Air Force and traveled the world, and I stayed home, still home, by the way. But the truth is, it's good to evaluate your life once in a while. It's good to think not just about your eternal life. That's foremost. Your soul's most important. But how about now? And Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and what? Have it more abundantly. Some of you young people, listen to me. The Lord Jesus don't want to hurt you. He wants to help you. He don't want to make life miserable for you. He wants to make it better for you. And in evaluating your life and consider what the Lord has to say, do you ever ask the questions, why am I here? And it's not what the science so-called book says. It's not an accident. You're here on purpose. Do you ever ask, what am I doing here? And worse, or more important than that, where am I going? Now, eternity is the big question, but where are you going in life? What kind of life are you going to have? Are you 15 today? Are you 20 today? Where are you going to be in 10 years? I'll tell you, you're going to be at the end of the road you're following now. I'm not trying to mess with your mind too much, but I'm trying to get some of you to think a little bit. Especially younger folks, do you evaluate your life? You know, the Bible tells you something about it. Over in Ecclesiastes, which is a book talking about what takes place under the sun, talking about the here and now, it says over there in verse 13 of the last chapter, let us hear the whole conclusion, or the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. And this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, yes, you will answer for it. It's a wonderful thing if you can enjoy good days now. If you can follow the road God's picked for you now, that's a wonderful thing. And where are we going in this life? Some of us that have worked with missions and people, street people and others, I've heard some of the saddest stories of people that had a chance, had an opportunity, and they blew it, and they're miserable, and they're hurting, and their health is gone, and they have no respect even for themselves, and in many cases, no family members that love them. It's some sad stories. You ought to be a pastor and hear some of the stories I've heard through the years. It's a sad thing. You hear it all the time because you hear people writing songs about wasted lives, don't you? Somebody said, what do you get when you play country music backwards? You get your wife back, your truck back, your house back. Because what they're writing about is something sad and wasted and lost and an opportunity that they blew and they got a broken heart over it. And you hear them whine about it and set and pat your foot to it. It's not happy stories most of them are telling. Right? Amen. Don't look at me after you hadn't heard it. The truth is, that's a big, big story involved in life today. And it's a good thing to ask, where are we going? What kind of life we're going to have? Now, the text I just read you gives you a recipe, gives you a formula, gives you a plan to have it turn out right. Now, don't come up with me with the exceptions. I know it rains on the just and unjust alike. I know suffering comes to good people and bad things happen to good people. I understand that. But I'm talking about the big picture as God lays it out. Here's a formula. Here's a roadmap. Here's a recipe to follow if you want to see good days. And that's what it's talking about here. And it's simple. You don't have any hard time understanding this. We don't have to change the Word of God to make you understand it. Look at it. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. You understand that, don't you? You do understand there's evil in the world. We can practice it. We can talk about it. We can be the cause of it, or we can avoid it. It's here. And one of the things it tells us here to do is refrain the tongue, control the tongue. Now, there's a book in the Bible, the book of James, that has a lot to say about the tongue. One of the things it says about it is that it's just a little member, but it just guides the whole body like a horse's bit in his mouth or the rudder on a boat. It stirs the whole course of life. And he says the tongue is set on fire of hell. You know, some folks spend their life using their tongue as a whip, hurting somebody else if they can. That's not right. We have to refrain the tongue, to pull it back. We live in a day and time when truth don't matter anymore. In fact, we've got a new word that's probably going to appear in the next new dictionary, fake news. Fake news. And it is so much of it. And what it means is there's no regard for truth. I lie long enough, like Hitler said, enough people will believe it if you lie long enough. And I fear we in that movement today, no doubt about it, been in it for a good long time. But notice the verse here says also to refrain the tongue and that the lips speak no guile. Now, guile means something a little clever, a little slick, like setting a trap, like having something that's been hid in it but was going to do you harm. And we're in that day and time when traps are being set. We see it politically all the time. We see it in the criminal world all the time. They're sending out warnings to us. You get it in the mail. I get it in the mail about them stealing your identity, about all the kind of cons that they can pull. I saw something come in the mail the other day telling us how to identify a scam. Now, we're not very easy to scam ourselves. We've been around too long. But it is amazing to me how that people... By the way, when they call you on the phone, the first mistake you make as soon as you know what it is continuing talking to them. Say, what do? Don't you know how to hang it up? Or is that just an old-fashioned thing? Push the button. Throw it away. Do something before you get hooked. Amen? I don't have a whole lot of mercy when I read somebody pulled all their savings out of the bank and went and gave it to some con man. I want to say, where's your brain? In your back pocket? It certainly wasn't between your ears. What in the world is the matter with you? And so this verse talks about refraining the tongue. It talks about having no guile there. Because we live in this day of deception. Boy, it is really, really on us, folks. But hey, it didn't surprise God. Didn't he warn us about it? Do you know where most con men put the hook in? It's when they've convinced somebody they're fixing to get something they don't deserve. When they're fixing to get something free. Better watch it. Better watch it. That's the scam that works. But refraining the tongue. Be very careful the devil don't use your tongue to hurt somebody else. You say, what do you mean? I mean, gossip might even be true. It don't have to be passed on. Are you proud of yourself that you heard it first? Huh? Are you proud of yourself you know something somebody else don't know? I remind you of the girl that said, I don't gossip. I can keep secret. I can keep a secret. It's my friends that can't. And that really applies to a whole pile of people. Now, the tongue, the little instrument that the devil will use to hurt somebody. I told somebody this week, they said something about something, and I said, you know, I have more ways of telling folks to shut up when they're talking about somebody else than you could count. You say, you wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, I have. Yeah, I believe God patted me on the back and said, good boy. Amen? Yeah. Somebody sat down in front of my desk, I want to tell you about so-and-so. I said, wait a minute, I'll call him. He'd come in, you'd tell us both. That'll turn them off. All of a sudden, they got other business. Wouldn't you like to be treated that way? Refrain your tongue then. You want to see good days? A blessed life? Refrain your tongue. You know it's evil because it tastes good when you do it. Anything that tastes good, you ought to spit it out. Now, I'm joking a little bit about going on a diet, but the truth of the matter is, what is it that makes us somehow or another want to hear, or somehow or another want to pass on, or somehow or another we can't keep that secret? Watch out for it, folks. Refrain the tongue. God said, I'll give you good days. If you just, you say, but I knew it. I had to tell it. Why? Why? Who did it help? Who did it hurt? That's a question. Some of you young people, I'm not just talking about the old lady that leans over the back fence after the washing's done. I'm talking about some of you young squirts, the worst in the world, especially with these gossip boxes you have in your hands now. Amen, amen. Thank you, Mickey. I'll amen, Mickey. Then it says, eschew evil. Now, you know what that means? It means shun it. It means push it away. It actually carries within the meaning of the word shoo. S-H-O-O, like when I was a kid and I shooed the chickens away. It says, shoo the evil away. Get rid of it. You read in the opening chapter of Job where Job come before God there and God pointed him out, and one of the things he complimented Job about was he eschewed evil. It meant that he pushed it away, that he shunned it, but it carried a little more than that. It was something Job also did, which was fight evil. And if you're really going to stand on God's side, you're going to have to resist, you're going to have to shew, you're going to have to fight evil, especially in this day and time. You know, somebody said, well, a little bird told me, there's a lot of bad birds out there, you know that? Do you know birds in the Bible? There's a lot of bad ones, there's the clean ones and the unclean ones. When the word of God was sowed, wasn't it the bad birds of the devil that took and stole it away, the seed, right? Somebody said, well, you know, I can't help the birds coming over my head. Yeah, but you don't have to stop and let them build a nest in your hair. You don't have to park. You don't have to open your ear to be a garbage can. The truth is, we're to shew evil, to get rid of it, and to push it away. Job was against it. It means he was willing to fight it and warn about it. Our church has through these years, and I know what folks say about us sometimes, they're different down there. I take it as a compliment, whether you meant it that way or not. Yeah, we fight against evil. We don't only identify it, speak against it, but we'll act against it every way we can. And we have through all these years. We'll fight it. We'll warn about it. That don't mean all the young people that go through my school turn out well. But some of them do. And we give them an opportunity for all of them to, if they will. We'll give them a course to have a good life. Follow God's book. You get a machine anymore, and it may send you a book of rules with it. This is a book of rules for life. And the more I follow these rules, better life's going to be to me. I'd rather have good days than bad days. I say to the young people going through our school, our rules are not against you, they're for you. They try to save you from the worst. And that we are going to identify evil. We're going to speak against evil. We're going to fight against evil. We're going to warn against it all that we can. And some are still going to stumble into the fall in the pit anyhow. But we are going to do our best to guide them, give them a chance, give them an opportunity. Talk about the school shooting all in the news. And I'm so sorry for the parents and the hurting parents and the kids. By the way, didn't they have a whole lot of prayer after that shooting? Where's the ACLU? I mean, they want to arrest the coach that prays for the ball team. They want to arrest the teacher that brings a Bible in and puts it on their desk. Where's the ACLU stopping all this praying going on after the shooting? Bunch of hypocrites. I started to say fat ones, but some of them may be skinny ones. Bunch of hypocrites is what they are. Fakes, that's what they are. Yes, there's going to be prayer in school. As long as there's an examination, there's going to be a prayer in school. But I'll tell you, when there's a shooting stuff, everybody finally said, God, oh yeah, he's up there. One black athlete, I appreciated, I didn't get all of it, but I heard a little bit. He said, I'll tell you what's the matter. They took prayer and Bible reading out of the school, and he's dead on. He's right. But now we can pray. We got 17 or whatever dead out there. Now we can pray. Now we can ask for God's help. That is a bunch of hypocrisy. It's ridiculous. It is. I know, but evil's in the world. We better face up that it is. I agree with the sheriff's plan on arming, putting armed people, hardening the target of school, not making it a gun-free zone. I certainly do agree with him on that. And that's the way it ought to be. And until we do something like that, it's not going to be fixed. And the copycat thing that's going on, these kids trying to get notoriety on the negative side. By the way, do you know this kid was on the website with some of the Syrian terrorists? Whether they had anything to do with it or not, but I want to tell you, that website, that business of browsing everything and going out there and getting hooked on the internet, and some of you parents, you turn your kid loose with that, you might as well put rattlesnakes under his bed and turn out the light. It is an amazing thing today what parents are letting kids do at an early age. The sad truth is, though, the kid might have had something wrong with him mentally. I think anybody that would do that would have to, but he was smart enough to know how to get away. And by the way, the FBI didn't have the mental excuse. Think on that one. They ought to be ashamed. While they're chasing a ghost to try to incriminate Trump, they ought to have been doing something real on those tips they were receiving. It's an amazing thing. But eschew evil means you stand against it. You don't just say, well, that's bad. That's bad. I'll do something about it. You don't understand that, do you? Somebody says, fundamentalist Baptist preachers, they always want to fight. They'll fight at the drop of a hat. Yes, that's right, and I'll drop the hat. If it's evil, it's wrong. Stand against it. If Jesus is your Savior, stand up for him. Don't hide around and whimper around, wimpy about it, and get with a gang and act like them when you're supposed to be a Christian. Young people, I'm calling your number right now. If he's yours while you're in church, don't be ashamed of him while you're down at the store or at the school or wherever else. Amen? Amen. I'm having too much amen on myself this morning, but I get to where I enjoy it. You know, this online evil is going to keep growing, folks. I don't know the answer except for young people to decide whose side they're on, how their life's going to turn out. You want to see good days, young folks? I just read you the formula. Watch your tongue. That's your cell phone. That's your Facebook. That's your Instagram. That's all that junk. Watch your tongue. I mean, are you going to be on God's side? You're going to speak God's word? You're going to speak against God's crowd and for the bad crowd? Oh, what are you going to be? I can tell you what kind of days you're going to have depending on how you follow this formula right here. This formula will work, and it won't work if you follow it your way instead of God's way. Look what he says. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now, it's talking about peace here, not talking about the political argument about who's going to drop the first bomb. Politically, we're doing all the wrong things America-wise. We either try to appease our enemy or we try to bribe them. Neither one has worked for all these years, and we're closer probably right now to blowing ourselves up than ever before. However, that kind of peace don't work, but God's peace will, and he gives you a formula to find his peace. You can find his peace. You think about that. Peace personally is what I'm talking to you about. And that means ensue it, chase it, go after it. A personal peace is God's way, and God's rules, not yours, not yours. Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Ways of death. It seems right, but where's it going to end? How's your life going to end? Is it going to end with good days on the earth or bad days? Depends on which road you're following. Really, really, really does. You know, to totally sell out to God brings a peace about your sin. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, you know your sins have been forgiven because Christ paid for them. That brings a peace. That's a peace for the future. That's a peace out there way ahead when you face God, and that's wonderful. And you must have that peace. That's a personal thing between you and the Lord. Have you received the Savior? And it's a peace that's so important. But you know what? There's a peace about how you live your life, too. I think about that just a little bit. Many of you have heard me tell this before. I was saved January 20th, 1957. Right after Noah parked the ark. Long time. 1957. Do the arithmetic. About 60 years. A few weeks over 60 years. Now, they built houses, and I think even the Walmart warehouse may be sitting somewhere about where I'm talking about now. But I got saved on Sunday night. I was working Minute Maid, harvesting fruit, wintertime, January, harvesting fruit and crew, and got saved on Sunday night. Monday morning, I went out to the location where we were loading the fruit. I was the first one there. I knew I had left the truck loaded. I was going to get it unloaded first on the load machine, and I went out there, and I was totally by myself just as the sunshine began to rise up in the east over the horizon. I'd gotten saved that night. I didn't understand it all, but I knew something had happened different in here. And I go out there by myself, and I'm looking at God's creation, the sunrise, and those oranges coming down that old loading machine into the truck as the paddles turned over, look like balls of gold to me. And I can cry about it after 60 years. The birds in the bushes sang prettier than I'd ever heard them sing. Because there was a little message right here in my old soul that said, it's all right now, Bicky. It was a piece I didn't understand. I couldn't have quoted you John 3:16, but it was in there. I'm different now. I'm not the same. I got peace with God. If I died now, it'd be all right. Now, that's the personal peace I'm talking to you about when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful truth. I hope you know it. I hope you can think back as I tell my little story there of the other day you got saved and what a difference it was. And I hadn't even been baptized yet, but I'd trusted Christ and I would get baptized in a few days. But the truth was his spirit was living with inside, and what a difference it made. You know, that's been 60 years. 60 years. The text here said, if you would see good days, do some things. If you'd love life and see good days, you'd do some things. I want to say to you, while I haven't lived perfect in the flesh, for 60 years, I've been in the church house, unless I was sick, almost every time a service was going on. 60 years, young people. Say, what kind of retirement program you have? I have the best. I've been paying into that program from the time I got saved. Every week. Say, how you do that? Well, it's called tithes and offerings. And after I got saved, within 2 or 3 weeks, I heard a preacher preach on tithing. I started tithing. I haven't missed since. Sometime a little bit, sometime not much, but it was there. 60 years. I'm just standing here to give you a testimony that life has been good. I have seen good days. You ever been sick? Sure, last week and many other times. You ever hurt yourself, have some pain, have somebody do you wrong? Of course, but it's still been good days because I had the peace of God in here, following his road. And you know what's best about it? I got peace about where the road's going to end up. Boy, God is good. Not only saves me and gives me peace between he and myself that he'll never have to judge me for my sin, but right now, oh yeah, he's giving me a retirement program. When I got saved, he started taking care of my needs. When I was young, he took care of my needs. When I was middle-aged, he took care of my needs. Guess what? He's taking care of them still. Yeah, even when you get old, that retirement plan still works. It's God's plan. That's the promise. If you'd see good days, do some things. Do some things. And you have a peace of God. And live in peace is this peace that the scripture talks about. Having a peace that passeth all understanding. Now, for 60 years, there's some folks couldn't understand why I had peace when I shouldn't have had it. Sometimes it's been church ministry or something else that was in a crisis, but somewhere deep inside, the peace still was on the throne. And God was saying, I can take care of that too. I can handle that too. I want to suggest to you this morning, not only that you get saved, but you follow this recipe. You follow this, this plan God's got laid out for you. And on God's word and the authority of God's word, that's the way you see good days. That's the way you love life. That's the way you have the peace about how it's going to be and the end. How it's going to end. Do you have that peace this morning? Are you enjoying good days now? You say, preacher, I just all bad. The doctor said this, that, and the other. That's all right if you're in God's plan. It's okay. It's okay. He can take care of every bit of it. And he promises that he will. It all begins, though, with seeing yourself as a sinner. Can't save yourself. Coming to Christ. Getting the peace that your sins have been forgiven. Then take up his plan. Follow it, whether it's 1 year or 60 years, to the end. And God will not let you down. He'll give you those good days. I pray you make that start this morning by coming to receive the Lord Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we commit the invitation to you. Father, I'm going to invite some to start down the right road this morning. That start is by receiving the Lord Jesus as Savior. Father, I'm going to ask some to get off the road their own because it's leading them the wrong way. Father, I'm going to even ask some that know you as Savior to begin to know you as Lord and let you boss their lives and direct their steps and show them the good days that you promised here that we just read about. I pray, Father, you'd speak to every heart in the invitation. And out in radio land, whatever the needs are of people that are listening, I pray for them. Lord, all of us rather see good days than bad. We'd rather see our kids turn out well than bad. We'd rather have good health than bad. All of that is true, Father. But some today walk in contrary to your will, and they're not experiencing even the best you have for them. I pray for them right now. And the very best, Lord, I know that you've given your best when you gave your son to die for their sins. So I pray that one without Christ today would leave that seat and come forward and receive him as Savior. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing. I'm going to step down to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me right here? Whatever God's asked you to do, some of you may need to say, I'm going to change roads. I've been following the wrong road. No wonder I'm not enjoying life. No wonder I'm not seeing good days. I'm traveling the wrong way. You come, whatever God's asked you to do. You come as we sing.
Just like